إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds whoever Allah guides there is none that can lead Him astray and whoever is led astray then there is no guide for Him I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is your raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement, ما بعد, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Last week we finished in our class of Aqidah, the virtues of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu an Abu Bakr, or an Abi Bakr. This week, the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari, rahimahullah, he says, thumma Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, and then in line of the most virtuous of his ummah is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and his lineage is Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufail ibn Abd al-Uzza ibn al-Riyah ibn Abdullah ibn Qarb ibn Razzah ibn Adi ibn Ka'ab ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib al-Qurashi Al-Adawi Abu Hafsin Amir al-Mu'mineen. So this is Umar radiallahu anhu. He's also from the Quraysh tribe, and maybe in one of our future classes inshallah ta'ala we might take a look at the people's lineage to know at what point does a person become from the Quraysh tribe. At any rate, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's the second in line after Abu Bakr for this ummah, after his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's many hadith to show the virtues of Umar, as the one we saw earlier, the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, qala kunna fi zaman an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la na'dilu abi bakr ahada thumma Umar thumma Uthman thumma natruku ashab an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la nufadilu baynahum. And this hadith collected by, or this athar collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says that during the time of the Messenger, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't place anyone above Abu Bakr, or we didn't make anyone equal to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then after him, Umar, and then Uthman, and then we used to leave the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not making any of them more virtuous than the other. So we see from the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar that during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he was second in line after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And now we're going to just take a look at, as we were using this As-Sahih al-Musnad min Fada'il al-Sahaba by Mustafa al-Aidawi, the authentic chains back to the Prophet ﷺ or to his companions or those after him that narrate to us the virtues of the Sahaba by Mustafa al-Aidawi. And he begins with the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. On the authority of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حائط من حيطان المدينة يرحمك الله فجاء رجل فاستفتح فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم افتح له وبشره بالجنة ففتحت له فإذا هو أبو بكر فبشرته بما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فحمد الله ثم جاء رجل فاستفتح فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم افتح له وبشره بالجنة ففتحت له فإذا هو عمر فأخبرته بما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فحمد الله ثم استفتح رجل فقال لي افتح له وبشره بالجنة على بلوى تصيبه فإذا عثمان فأخبرته بما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فحمد الله ثم قال الله المستعان. أبو موسى العشري رضي الله عنه, he said that I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم in one of the places of Medina, or in a wall, behind a wall from the walls of Medina, when a man asks to enter, to have the door open for him so he can enter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, open the door for him and give him glad tidings of Jannah. So I opened the door and there was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So I gave him the glad tidings that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him. So he praised Allah by saying Alhamdulillah. And then another man came and asked to enter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, open the door for him and give him glad tidings. And there was Umar radiallahu anhu. So I informed him of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So he said Alhamdulillah. And then another man came seeking permission to enter. So he said to me, open the door for him and give him glad tidings of Jannah, because of what he is going to be tested with, of the calamities. And there was Uthman radiallahu anhu. So I informed him of what the Prophet, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So he said Alhamdulillah, and then he said Allahul Musta'an. And Allahul Musta'an, it means Iyaka Nasta'een, or oh Allah, we seek your help. So here we see Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu being amongst the people of Jannah, and still second in line after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And there are many hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that show that Umar radiallahu anhu is in Jannah. Imam al-Bukhari, he brings the hadith of Abdullah ibn Hisham, qala kunna ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وهو آخذ بيد عمر بن الخطاب فقال له عمر يا رسول الله لأنت أحب إلي من كل شيء إلا من نفسي قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا والذي نفسي بيده حتى أكون أحب إليك من نفسك فقال له عمر فإنه الآن والله لأنت أحب إلي من نفسي فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الآن يا عمر. Abdullah ibn Hisham radiallahu anhu, he said that we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and he was holding the hand of Umar, and Umar said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed you are the most beloved person to me, or you're the most beloved thing to me other than myself, meaning that I love you ya Rasulullah more than I love anything other than the love of myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, not until you love me more than you love yourself. And then Umar said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right now I swear by Allah that there's no one more beloved to me above my own self but you, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now Ya Umar, meaning now Umar, you have the Allah knows best, the perfect level of iman, or where a person's iman should be, and that is that he should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه مما سواه. Or كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that none of you truly believes until he loves me more than he loves anything else. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said. So this hadith shows the level of iman of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول بين أنا نائم رأيت الناس عرضوا علي وعليهم قمص فمنها ما يبلغ الثدي ومنها ما يبلغ دون ذلك وعرض علي عمر وعليه قميص اجتره وقالوا فما أولته يا رسول الله قال الدين. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim, where Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, while I was sleeping, I saw the people, and they were being presented to me, and they had qamises on. There were those who had a qamis that was short just at his chest level, and then there were those who had qamises on that were longer than that. And then Umar radiallahu anhu was presented to me, and he had a qamis that was so long that it was dragging. So they said, and what does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? Meaning, interpret this dream for us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it means the deen. So this shows that the deen of Umar radiallahu anhu is strong and it's above the people, as the people varied in their weakness of the deen, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the strongest. The ulama, they add to this hadith by saying that it may appear that Umar is better than Abu Bakr from this hadith, by showing that he was the one with the long qamis dragging. But here it doesn't say that it was longer than Abu Bakr. It just said that it was longer than the people. And of course not longer than Abu Bakr, as he's the finest after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhumma. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala bayna ana na'imun sharibtu ya'ni al-labana hatta anzura ila al-riyi yakhruju min zufuri aw fi adfari thumma nawaltu umara qalu fama awaltahu ya Rasulullah qala al-ilm. And this next hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while I was sleeping, I saw, or while I was sleeping, I found myself drinking some milk until I can look at, and Allah knows best of the translation, حَتَّى أَنْظُرَ إِلَى الرِّيِّ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ ظُفُرِي, that I was looking at, until I was looking at my lungs come out of my fingernails. And then I saw Umar, or then I came to Umar, and they said, what does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? Or then I gave the drink to Umar, and they said, what does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? And I said, this means that Umar has ilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the translation of this hadith. At any rate, this hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is just showing the ilm or the knowledge of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The ulama, they explained this ilm or this knowledge that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu has, it means the way he handles his leadership in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as Umar radiallahu anhu, when he became the Khalifa, there was no dispute whatsoever over him being the Khalifa. The whole Ummah unanimously agreed. As you know, what took place with Abu Bakr, the people decided, wait a minute, we think we have one, no. Until the people decided that Abu Bakr was the leader. And then we know what took place with Uthman, that he was chosen amongst a group of people. And then Ali, radiallahu anhu, became the Khalifa in the time of Fitan. But Umar radiallahu anhu unanimously became the Khalifa. During his Khilafah, he conquered almost the whole world radiallahu anhu, and that Islam just spread. And Umar radiallahu anhu was in charge, and he was governing and running the people on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And basically there were no problems during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And the ulama, they say this is the knowledge that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was referring to Umar, that he knew how to handle leadership in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he had basically a problem free khilafah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, bainama ana asiru fil jannati فإذا أنا بقصر فقلت لمن هذا يا جبريل ورجوت أن يكون لي قال قال لعمر قال ثم سرت ساعد فإذا أنا بقصر خير من القصر الأول قال فقلت لمن هذا يا جبريل ورجوت أن يكون لي قال قال لعمر وإن فيه لمن الحور العين يا أبا حفص وما منعني أن أدخله إلا غيرتك قال something that's not clear عينا عمر ثم قال أما عليك فلم أكن لأغار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this narration of Imam Ahmad, said, while I was taking a journey through Jannah, and this is proof in our aqidah, and it came in the past and it's going to come up again inshallah ta'ala, that Jannah has already been created, and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw what was in Jannah, as we see in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as I was riding through Jannah, I saw a castle. And I said, Jibreel, whose castle is this? And I was hoping that he would say, it's mine. And he said, no, this is for Umar. And then we kept on going for a while, and then we came to another castle that was better than the first castle. So I said to Jibreel, and whose castle is this one? Hoping that this one was mine. And then Jibreel said, this is for Umar. And then the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, ya Abu Hafs, and this is the kunya of Umar, Abu Hafs, they had so many hurul ain, or beautiful women in there. And the only thing that prevented me from entering it was your jealousy, ya Umar. And then the Umar radiallahu anhu, he said this statement, it's not clear here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, if I'm remembering from one of the other narrations. Am I going to be jealous over you, ya Rasulullah? And then or something like that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that Umar is going to have a big castle in Jannah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a big castle in Jannah, though we don't have the deeds of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, عن زيد بن أسلم حدث عن أبيه قال سألني ابن عمر عن بعض شأنه يعني عمر فأخبرته فقال ما رأيت أحدا قط
بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من حين قبض كان أجد وأجود حتى انتهى من عمر بن الخطاب.
Zayd ibn Aslam, he narrates on the authority of his father, who said, I asked Abdullah ibn Umar about some of the affairs of his father Umar. And he informed me, he said, I didn't see anyone. After the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his death, that was more stronger and more generous than Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So this shows that Umar radiallahu anhu was an extremely generous man radiallahu anhu. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, ma anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, uritu fil manami anni anzi'u bidalwi bakra ala qalibin faja'a abu bakrin fanaz'a dhanuban aw dhanubayni naz'an da'ifan wallahu yaghfiru lahu thumma ja'a Umar ibn al-Khattab fastahalat غربا فلم أرى عبقريا يفري فريه حتى روي الناس وضربوا بعطن. And this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I saw in a dream that I was pulling out a bucket from the well. As you turn it on that, I don't know what that thing is called. Somebody know when you are. Alright. Yeah, but there is a little detail in Arabic to show that thing that you wind up and the rope comes up with the bucket to get the thing out. At any rate, then Abu Bakr came and he took out a bucket or two and he was pulling it out and he was weak. I mean, he wasn't, didn't have the strength to really pull it up. Radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah forgive him. Then Umar radiallahu anhu came. And the little bucket had at that time become a great big pail or whatever. And I didn't see anyone. I didn't see any abaqari. I didn't see any leader or master over his people pull out the bucket like Umar until all of the people had their drinks from the water and that they were able to give drink to their camels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, this just shows the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Umar was a abaqari or a sayyid or a leader or a master over his people radiallahu anhu. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَا قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ نَاسٌ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ يَكُوا فِي أُمَّتِ أَحَدٌ فَإِنَّهُ عُمَرٌ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there used to be in the nations that came before you people who used to receive inspiration. And if there would be anyone in this ummah, then it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam just shows if anyone would be fitting, would be befitting for this ummah to receive some inspiration or revelation, then it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the next hadith of At-Tirmidhi, it's authentic. He says, "Inna Allah ja'ala al-haqqa 'ala lisani 'Umar wa qalbihi." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Indeed Allah placed the truth on the tongue of Umar and in his heart." Radiallahu anhu. And in the other narration, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "Ma nazala bin nasi amrun qat faqalu fihi wa qala fihi Umar aw qala ibn al-Khattab fihi
إلا نزل فيه القرآن على نحو ما قال عمر. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that nothing took place amongst the people that the people had something to say about that issue, and Umar had something to say, except that the Quran was revealed pertaining to that issue with the same statement that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu made, or something similar to that. And this just shows the knowledge or the insight of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, as we see in this next example from Sahih al-Bukhari, where Umar radiallahu anhu himself, he says, وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي فِي ثَلَاثٍ فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ اتَّخَذْنَا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى فَنَزَلَتْ وَاتَّخَذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى وَآيَةُ الْحِجَابِ قلت يا رسول الله لو أمرت نساءك أن يحتجبن فإنه يكلمهن البر والفاجر فنزلت آية الحجاب واجتمع نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في الغيرة عليه فقلت لهن عسى ربه إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن فنزلت هذه الآية. And this is authentic. Where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said that I made three statements that agreed with my Lord. I said, Ya Rasulullah, if we would take the maqam of Ibrahim as a place to make salah, and then, or as they say, the Ibrahim station, and then Allah revealed, take maqam Ibrahim as a place to make salah. And the ayah of hijab, as I said, O Messenger of Allah, you should command your wives to wear the hijab, because indeed righteous and criminal people speak to them. And then the ayah of hijab was revealed. And then the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam were against him alayhi salatu wa salam because of their jealousy. And Umar said to them, to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe his Lord will make him divorce you, and then replace you all with wives that are better than you. And then Allah revealed the ayah with the same statement from Surah Tahrim. So here we see that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had a nice insight and understanding of the affairs, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent down verses to agree with the position of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. As we see in this other example, and the ulama, they have mentioned from this other example, when Umar said that I made statements that agree with my Lord in three instances, this doesn't deny that there's more than three. This just shows that at least there's three. Maybe the closest thing to us, somebody might say, yeah, I got $5. You got $5? Yeah, I got $5. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have more than $5, but it means that he has at least $5. And this point, it comes in Islam oftentimes, that something is said and it's not denying that there's anything more than this. Like Allah has 99 names. Doesn't deny the fact that he might not have, that he may have more. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, qal, lamma tawufi Abdullah ibn Ubayy, jaa abnuhu Abdullah ibn Abdillah ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, fa'atahu qamisahu wa amarahu an yukaffinahu fih. ثم قام يصلي عليه فأخذ عمر بن الخطاب بثوبه فقال تصلي عليه وهو منافق وقد نهاك الله أن تستغفر لهم قال إنما خيرني الله أو أخبرني الله فقال استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم فقال سأزيده على 70 قال فصلى عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فصلينا معه ثم أنزل الله عليه ولا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقم على قبره إنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله وماتوا وهم فاسقون.
And this hadith is also collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Wa Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma وعبدالله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he said when Abdullah ibn Ubay died, his son Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him his qamis, so and commanded him to shroud him in that qamis. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to make the salatul janazah over Abdullah ibn Ubay. And then Umar grabbed the thobe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "You gonna make salat over this munafiq? And Allah had prohibited you from seeking forgiveness for them." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah gave me the choice, or Allah informed me, seek forgiveness for them, or don't seek forgiveness for them. Even if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah would never forgive them." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'm going to seek for his forgiveness more than 70 times." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made salat over him, and we made salat with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah revealed, "Do not make salat over any one of them that dies ever, and do not stand at their graves. Indeed, they disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger, and they die while they were fasting." So we see from this hadith also that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he had this position not to make dua for the munafiqeen because of their plots against Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the same thing. There's some other points from this hadith. Maybe one of the points is that the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is to be understood exactly the way it comes, the text is, unless there's some explanation from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam for any particular text. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood this statement, if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'll seek forgiveness more than 70 times, to show that he understood the Quran to mean just what it said. Also we see from this hadith that amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah that they understood from the criminal acts of some of the Muslims that they were munafiqs, and not to make dua for them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the Muslims from making the salat over the munafiqeen, or prohibited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from making the salat over the munafiqeen. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, قال استأذن عمر بن الخطاب على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعنده نسوة من قريش يكلمنه ويستكثرنه عالية أصواتهن على صوته. فلما استأذن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قمنا فبادرنا الحجاب فأذن له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فدخل عمر ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يضحك فقال أضحك الله سنك يا رسول الله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عجبت من هؤلاء اللاتي كنا عندي فلما سمعنا صوتك ابتدرنا الحجاب. فقال عمر فأنت أحق أن يهبنا يا رسول الله. ثم قال عمر يا عدوات أنفسهن يا عدوات أنفسهن أتهب atahibnani wa la tahibna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, faqulna na'am, anta afadha wa aghladha min Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ijiha ya ibn al-Khattab walladhi nafsi biyadihi ma laqiyaka ash-shaytanu salikan fajjan qattu illa salaka fajjan ghayra fajjika. This hadith of al-Bukhari, Sa'id ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he said that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu sought the permission to enter upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he had women from the Quraysh with him, and they were speaking to him, and they were taking up a lot of his time sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were raising their voices above the voice of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So when Umar sought the permission to enter, the women got up and hurry up and went behind the hijab. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the permission for Umar to enter, and Umar entered, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was laughing, and Umar said, may adhaq Allahu sinnaka ya Rasulullah. That kind of literally is like, may Allah may Allah make you laugh or smile or something like that, ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, I'm surprised with these women that they were with me, and then when they heard your voice, they hurried to run behind the hijab. So Umar said, ya Rasulullah, you have more right that they are afraid of you, ya Rasulullah. You have more right that your presence makes the women run or whatever than me, ya Rasulullah, or something like that. So Umar said, oh, you enemies to yourselves, referring to the women, you're going to fear me more than you fear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They said, of course, you harder and rougher than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, say what you like, O Ibn al-Khattab, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hand, that you don't, that shaitan doesn't meet you down the same path, except that shaitan takes another path other than your path. So this shows the presence of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that whenever he was there, that even the shaitan was afraid of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu as he took another path. And this shows the great presence of the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu. The hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he says, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala, Allahumma a'izzal islam bi ahabbi hadain ar-rajulain ilayka bi Abi Jahlin aw bi Umar ibn al-Khattab qal wa kana ahabbuhuma ilayhi Umar. And this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O Allah, make Islam mighty by the most beloved of these two men to you, Abu Jahl or Umar ibn al-Khattab, and the most beloved of those two to Allah was Umar. And this shows that Umar was more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of this ummah, alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah. May Allah give him what he deserved for his hatred and his whatever against Islam. And we also see from this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this deen mighty by the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The next hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Abdullah And whenever we say Abdullah, we're referring to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. As the ulama say, when you see Abdullah, then he's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. As the other Abdullah from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam are usually known, Ibn Umar, referring to Abdullah ibn Umar, or Ibn Abbas, or Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, but they'll mention their name, and when they only say Abdullah, then they're referring to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, ما زلنا عزتاً منذ أسلم عمر. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that we never stopped being mighty after Umar accepted Islam, or ever since Umar accepted Islam. So this shows the virtues that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought with him to this deen of al-Islam. We see in this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, أن الرجل سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الساعة فقال متى الساعة قال وماذا أعددت لها قال لا شيء إلا أني أحب الله ورسوله فقال أنت مع من أحببت قال أنس فما فرحنا بشيء فرحنا بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنت مع من أحببت قال أنس فأنا أحب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر وأرجو أن أكون معهم بحب إياهم وإن لم أعمل بمثل أعمالهم. And this is also collected by Imam Muslim. وأنس رضي الله عنه, he said that a man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم about the last hour. He said, when is the last hour? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did you prepare for that hour? And he said, I didn't prepare anything except that I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll be with the one who you love. And then Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that we were never more happier than how happy we were with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are with the one who you love. And then Anas said, indeed I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, and I hope that I will be with them because I love them, even if I don't do the deeds that they did. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us in Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, even if we don't do the deeds that they do. Well, let us see the last hadith, the hadith of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Qala Abdullah, idha dhukira as-salihun fahayhala bi-Umar ibn al-Khattab. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, when the righteous are mentioned, then glad tidings, or as he meant by his statement, to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu are many. And we said, just refer to Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim for the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is what we wanted to present today. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any comments or statements or questions referring to our belief that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the second finest after Abu Bakr and as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Please adjust the volume downstairs, inshallah. There is only two or three of us, and it is too loud. Yesterday was too soon.
You mentioned that Umar, because of his correct understanding of the dream, that there was verses. Did you say that there was verses that helped show that his understanding was correct, that those verses came before he made the statement or after?
Umar radiallahu anhu just took positions. And then Allah revealed verses to show the position of Umar was most correct. And this just shows the knowledge of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And maybe the best way to compare it, like we were looking at Sa'id ibn Musayyib the other day, who was one of the finest tabi'een. And that during the time of the Sahaba, he was making fatwas. He learned the deen from the Sahaba, they're still there. You figure that if the people need any knowledge of this deen, then they have to go to the Sahaba. But Sa'id ibn Musayyib was making fatwas while the Sahaba were still living. And this was even from the statement of one of the Sahabas himself, that Wallahi Sa'id ibn Musayyib is a mufti, that he'll be answering the people's questions in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah and with the understanding of the Salaf. And this was the same thing with Umar radiallahu anhu. The Quran was being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it wasn't yet complete. And Umar radiallahu anhu, at times you should just take a stance. Ya Rasulullah, I think this is the move. Or Ya Rasulullah, I think this is correct. Or I think we should do that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat. Here it should be done, just like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said it. And this just shows the knowledge and the understanding and the foresight that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, as these verdicts are here until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like some of the ones we mentioned, like the ayah of hijab, where the women should be behind a veil. And this is the custom, or this is the way of the Muslim until Yawm al-Qiyamah, that if the men have causes, that their wives are going to be behind the veil, meaning, or behind the door, or whatever, unseen from the men guests, as the verse was revealed to show. And this was because of the position of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So this just shows his knowledge, as he took a stance, and that stance is going to be here until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is just amongst the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. I don't know if the brothers listening in on Ilm Online, if they had any statements or comments or questions. I think that's the brothers and sisters in Roanoke or Harun, was that the place? Asbury Park. Inshallah.
The position that Allah took on the last of kings, it seems today, when people try to take the same position on the last of kings, it seems that it's something other than from Islam.
Yeah.
Is the clarity of the Munafiqeen different from the time of Sahaba and Munafiqeen?
Yeah, the brother's asking that nowadays the people seem to misunderstand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the issue of the Munafiqeen. Is the issue of the Munafiqeen nowadays the way that it was during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? As we see Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he didn't know who the Munafiqeen were. And we know that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one who asked Hudhayfa, the one who radiallahu anhu, the one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the names of all of the Munafiqeen. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked him, why don't you tell me who they were? And he said, nah, this is a secret between me and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Umar just said, I just want to make sure I'm not one of them. And then he told him, you're not one of them, ya Umar. And this shows that Umar radiallahu anhu didn't know who were the Munafiqeen for a certainty. And when it came to this issue of Abdullah ibn Ubay, the Munafiq, Umar called him a Munafiq. And this was during the time of the Sahaba, because of the deeds of particular people, that they used to just say, so-and-so is a munafiq. Let me kill him, Ya Rasulullah, or whatever. And this judgment sometimes can be correct or incorrect, as we know on one of the times when the companion, slips my mind, his name right now, if it's not Hatim, where Ibn Abi Balta, I think it is. At any rate, when they were going to conquer Mecca, I think it was,
he has some family still in Mecca. So he wanted to tell him, listen, we about to come take over Mecca. You know, just get y'all, just roll, take our stuff, and let us finish everybody else off. At any rate, this is treason to tell the enemy camp what's going on and what's the plans. And they caught up with him. And then Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to kill him. And then the Messenger of Allah والسلام, said, leave him alone, Umar. You don't know that Allah has forgiven what the people of Badr had did. So do whatever you like, because Allah is going to forgive you. In another narration, Allah has entered them into Jannah. Do whatever they want to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if nowadays that it's simply okay for someone just to say so and so is a munafiq, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to do. But Umar, and we've seen his insight, so if he says somebody is a munafiq, it's a little different maybe than some of the other people who don't have the insight of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. At any rate, nowadays, and this is the safest position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, I fear that somebody may be a munafiq because he's doing such and such. I fear that he might be a munafiq because he's doing those deeds of the munafiq. Like the lady had wrote one time, is my husband a munafiq? Because he has all four of those things. And this is from the hadith, the signs of a whoever has these things is a munafiq until he lets them go. And the lady said, my husband has all of them. Is he a munafiq? And you say, we fear that somebody may be a munafiq because of his deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in somebody's heart, because the real munafiq is the one who outwardly professes Islam and inwardly disbelieves in Islam. And nobody knows what's really in somebody's heart, if he disbelieves or not. But for certainty, at times you can see from the deeds of certain people that they're munafiqs, as the people used to call some of these criminal leaders amongst the Muslims munafiqs. I think like some people may have referred to Yasser Arafat or Qaddafi, and then other people even went farther to say worse than that. And even amongst some of the leaders that we had here, as people used to call Farrakhan before some people started to call him a kafir, they used to call him a munafiq because of his deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, we need to be safe with our tongues and to try to stay away from just making anybody and everybody a munafiq, except that we fear that somebody may be a munafiq, and we hope that Allah forgives them of their sins and enters them into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yeah.
No one is in Jannah right now. It's probably wrong.
I don't get the question good.
Earlier you had said that we know that Omar is in Jannah, or is he going to Jannah? I thought I heard you say we know that he's in Jannah, and I thought that nobody would be going to Jannah until the day Yom Kippur.
Yeah, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as I said, Umar is in Jannah, as that's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar fil Jannah. As the hadith of Tirmidhi goes, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, An-Nabiyu fil Jannah, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he's in Jannah. It's the same thing as the hadith of the hadith of Bilal radiallahu anhu that we cover, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, I was in Jannah and I heard his footsteps. On these hadith that speak about the affairs of the unseen, the explanation of them and the clarification of them is just the reading of the text. Umar is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah. Does that mean he's in now or going later and all of that? We say what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Umar is in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And I was just thinking just the other day, as this question had come up, we make the dua when we're traveling, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. Oh Allah, you are our companion during the journey, and you're remaining behind to take care of our family. How's somebody going to be with you and behind at the same time? And how is Allah going to do this and that? And really, when it comes to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the affairs of the unseen in general, that we believe in what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to us, and we don't ask how, but we leave the explanation and the clarification to be the reading of the text, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Is there a verse that says it's not befitting to talk above the Prophet, and if so, was this verse applied to those women as well that spoke?
Is there a verse that says don't speak above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, says Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawt an-nabi. Or you believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe this is advice to all of us men, inshallah ta'ala, who are married. They raise their voices above the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. These women weren't his wives. And in other cases, we had the women who were his wives, as we had read the example of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha shouting at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr came in and slapped her to put her in place. But maybe we should get some wisdom from this, that the women, they just got some mouths on them. We just need to take it easy a little bit, to be patient with them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Might have had a question. Yes. Somebody else can offer some clarification. A question related to it, otherwise the hadith of the Prophet is the way it says. Yes. Inshallah. Yeah.
Speaking of that hadith, I just want to mention a point that it was said that these are the people who are going to be given for their sins.
Order. Yeah, the brother just mentioned that he said these are the people who are going to have their sins forgiven, and then they were dipped in the water, or as it went. You can clarify. Salaam alaikum. The sisters sent up a note. After Salada, I'll make this statement now, though, that explain to the people that they need to give the salams to one another. Really, I thought that with the American Muslims, alhamdulillah, that there was no problem whatsoever in giving the salams, because everybody gives the salams. And really, people might, astaghfirullah, kill you if you don't give them the salams. Even the kuffar, you know, they'd be ready to fight if you don't return the salams. So I thought that in general the Muslims give the salams, and I don't know if there's a problem, and if somebody sees that there's a problem, then they should address it, inshallah ta'ala. But Allah knows best. It seems sometimes that this problem of giving the salams is maybe that somebody didn't hear the person, or maybe the person, you know, your mind is distracted, you're thinking about something, you thought you gave the salams when you came in, you didn't realize you gave it, or what have you. So I think that people give the salams even when they shouldn't. I remember on the time of boycotting the people to bring them back to the sunnah, that you don't give the salams, and people say, I don't know, I can do everything else, but at least I gotta give them the salams. So I don't know if it's really a problem. Whoever sees it to be a problem, then it's upon each and every one of us to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. And not necessarily every isolated incident is really a community issue, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.